I can't even do a decent impersonation of myself anymore. Yeah. You know?
Uh-huh. Well, nowadays you do a parody of yourself. Welcome back to What's All That About, a podcast where two cheeky chaps chat candidly about stuff. My name is Kelso, one of the aforementioned cheeky chaps, and with me, as always, is my dear longtime mate, Bob Ross Boss, and co-host Cohen. G'day, Cohen.
Oh, a squillion welcomes, Kelso. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice.
A squillion welcomes? How many welcomes is that exactly?
I don't know. I like made-up numbers. So, yes.
That might be a million times a billion.
Now, is that true? Because I did hear that some of those sort of numbers that sound like made-up numbers are actually real numbers.
Yeah. I think it's squillion. Is that got something to do with Scrooge McDuck? It sounds like a Scottish metric.
Squillion sounds like some kind of evil organization that maybe James Bond would have gone up against at some point.
I can see them sitting around the table, the boardroom table, with Squillion in the back. You fooled my plans again, Bond.
This sounds like the work of Squillion.
Do be reasonable, Bond. No, those Squillions of welcomes have made me feel very welcome. You and the dear listener will be surprised to hear that. But so welcome. I'm going to get your thoughts on the World Cup, which is playing at the moment. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts in the World Cup. So you're talking about soccer, right?
I'm talking about soccer, right?
Yeah. No, I don't watch TV, so I often get alerted by these things by other people asking me, where are we at the World Cup, eh? I'm like, that World Cup. Woo! No, but I do know. We try not to date our shows here. What's All That About? But we do know that where you're calling from, good old England, are doing quite well. I do know that.
They are. They've progressed to the semi-finals, which first time in 28 years or something like that. So because soccer is not a big sport in Australia.
No, it's not. They try to get it big, but we've got a small population and a million sports, a squillion sports even.
That's a lot of sports.
Yeah, so basically it's one person per, you know, 1,000 sports, really. That's what we've got here.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot on my plate. We should have a good soccer pedigree because we're like an English colony and we've had a lot of European, Eastern European, Mediterranean people that have, you know,
immigrants,
thank you. So we should be a good soccer nation, but we're just not.
I wonder if we could expand the pool by getting a few more African refugees to move over.
Yeah, I'm totally down for that because we need that. We suck.
Well, we still make it into the World Cup, which is quite astounding, come to think about it.
Well, true, but they did jig some things. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. We were the benefit of some jigging about 12 years ago. There was the playoffs to qualify for the World Cup. They moved some things around and they created this new thing called Oceania, which is just basically Australia, New Zealand, and all these little Pacific Island countries. Of course, in that pool, Australia are the giants. So we've only got to beat about 3 or 4 months away from the World Cup. We just basically have to beat Azerbaijan and we're in, you know. It's a really easy road.
I seem to recall us playing matches against Japan and Iran and Iraq. Am I wrong?
Yeah, well, you do have to play the winner of the Asian thing and or something like that. I'm not an expert on it, but I do know that about 12 years ago, the path to the World Cup was made a lot easier for Australia, maybe in an effort to try and make soccer the number one sport here, because I think it's about the number 5 sport here.
I thought you were going to tell me that they replaced the penalty shootout with an actual jig competition, and we were quite good at jigging.
I think the only way to make the penalty shootout palatable for Australians is to have some kind of physical altercation involved in it. Then maybe
right.
Yeah. instead of a shootout, an actual shootout, you know, maybe.
How about just a pushing match? Tell the dear listener and me about the Bring Back the Biff campaign. What was all that about?
Oh, the game of rugby league, you might recall this, Kel, so that any big football had to have at least one point where all the players just got into an all-in brawl. You know, that was fairly common occurrence when we were growing up watching rugby league. And, of course, the PC brigade clamped down on it and, you know, it kind of made the game boring. So there was a media-driven, sort of tongue-in-cheek, but there was a lot of seriousness to it. And it was called Bring Back the Biff. And
understood.
So basically,
Biff
that means
meaning being onomatopoeia for a punch connecting.
Yeah, and Biff. Yeah, they're not referring to that Arthur Miller play, Death of a Salesman, and the main character from that. Not at all. Biff.
what a great name.
All right. I wish I had an American name. I mean, I was always jealous of Americans that had names like Chip. Do you remember that?
If you like, I'll call you Brick.
That'd be cool. I wouldn't mind that. Although it does make me sound like an idiot. Yeah. No, I just want a brick.
You dropped me like a brick.
So let me ask you, Kelso.
Hang on, back up. Well, I was doing it. I wanted to tell you how much I'd love to be called Randy. When I lived and worked in the States for a while, I met one or two Randys. I was over the moon. But right. No Hanks.
You know, I've got a nephew named Hank. So, yeah. And that's not a nickname. That's his actual name. Hank.
Interesting. And is Hank short for something?
It is not. That is his name. They wanted to give him a nickname name as his birth name. Don't ask me why.
I hope he doesn't get teased with the joining of his name to the word wank.
No, he does Brazilian jiu-jitsu, so I don't think anyone's teasing him. I'm not kidding. He does Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Not even just normal jiu-jitsu. He does Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
He's specialized.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's exactly the same as normal jiu-jitsu, except you do it with no body hair.
Yeah, it is a more painful experience when you're getting ready to, when you're gloving up.
Gloving up and hairing down.
Yeah. Well, that's probably how all the hair gets ripped out, to be honest, all that tape, you know what I mean? I don't know if you've ever had any of that tape.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be lacking the body hair after the tournament.
Right, right. And, you know, they're from Mediterranean extraction, so you can imagine it's pretty painful. thick hair.
Well, that's why the Brazilian was required in the first place.
I've never actually seen a Brazilian chick naked, so I wouldn't know. It's all, you know, it's all hearsay.
Put it on the bucket list.
Apparently, because I don't know if you know this, Kelso, but Brazilian women, I mean, this could just be something that I made up myself, but although they are very sexy, they're also very religious and conservative. So the sexiness is only on the outside.
Yeah, it's a real conundrum for guys like us.
Yeah, we don't know what to do. I don't know where to look.
We don't know if we're going or we're showing.
Yeah. Although you'd probably be interested to know, Kelso, that there's heaps of South Americans in my fair city. You only have to get on Tinder. Every second chick on Tinder's profile says, hola, no one night stands.
what's the South American or Portuguese for goodbye then?
I don't know. Maybe it's hola. Maybe it's like aloha. Maybe it means hello and goodbye. I don't know. I don't pretend to speak Portuguese. It's the annoying language, you know.
It annoys you.
I'm trying to get my head around Spanish, and then Portuguese is like a real spanner in the works, you know.
It's a spoiler.
It is.
Are you telling me that you've got the opportunity in your fair town of Brisbane to improve your Latin dancing?
I have, you know what, we have a thing here every Thursday night at a really cool place. It's salsa night every Thursday night, and I've been there.
Unheard of.
I've been, because you know what, this is another a cultural thing that we don't enjoy being from Anglo-Saxon background, is the, you know...
Rhythm.
Well, that, and the willingness to dance with anybody, because that's just, you know... So I go to this salsa night, and suddenly I'm getting swept off my feet. Literally, by this, you know, gorgeous South American girl with like hips for days.
A broom.
And I can tell you, Your Honor, hips don't lie.
Yeah, when you're that close, there's no chance for fibs.
Yeah, and they don't care that I couldn't dance. I think they found it charming. It's really hard. It's really hard, you know. It's like doing the nut bush really, really quickly.
That is difficult.
When was the last time you did the nut bush?
I'm going to say 1994.
Wow.
And that was at regular speed.
That was a long time ago. Yeah, wow. Okay. Well, at regular speed, it's hard enough. But, I think the last time I did the nut bush was about maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I
nut
bush.
No, it was 1994. I remember it well because I hit the nut bush city limits, took the wrong exit, and I haven't been able to find my way back.
Well, just remember that 25 is the speed limit and motorcycles ain't allowed in it. Just remember that.
Oh, wow. I would never put a motorcycle in a nut bush. The reason I asked you about Spanish Latino dancing, do you remember we had a friend of ours who fancied himself as a bit of a Latin dancer?
He did. Well, would it be fair to say he got caught up in Latin fever that kind of happened at the turn of the millennium? Do you remember that? That it was all the rage. It was all J-Lo and Ricky Martin and all that kind of stuff.
There were two factors, actually. One, as you said, Ricky Martin burst onto the scene, a la Achy Breaky Heart. Bobby Ray Cyrus?
Billy Ray Cyrus.
I was close.
You're close. It sounds like Billy Ray Cyrus's toothless cousin.
Who no doubt exists.
Yeah.
But our friend also had a South American girlfriend.
That's
and
right.
I believe she was from El Salvador, I want to say.
Yeah, yeah. Which is just another little quick interesting little tidbit. El Salvador is actually Spanish for the Salvador.
Thank you very much.
just you know. Yeah.
Our wise one.
Thank you. Muchas gracias.
So our buddy, having a influence directly from Ricky Martin's superpower, and also having a South American girlfriend, believed that it was incumbent on him to engage the Latin dancing style. But unfortunately, being a kind of a dweeby white guy, his understanding of Spanish dancing, Latin dancing, why do I keep saying Spanish dancing? Latin dancing was to basically feebly wave one arm in front of his face of about a 2 feet distance from his head up and down as he shuffled from side to side.
Yeah, I believe the other hand kind of rested on his belt. You mean like sort of making a little teapotty, yes, kind of like the arm out, on a sort of like a triangle, put the elbow jutting out with the hand resting on the belt, with the other hand, you know, as you said, sort of for some reason, I'm not sure, maybe someone was doing it in a Ricky Martin film clip. I don't really remember seeing anyone doing that dance in my experience, but
he might have had a very cursory view of a Ricky Martin film clip, saw that one move and went, that's it.
He also claimed that his girlfriend looked like J-Lo before I met her. And to say that I was severely disappointed when I finally met her would be an understatement. But
she was no Jenny from the block. My brother's friend from high school, when she finished high school, she went for a year as like an exchange student to somewhere in Brazil.
Right.
And she went over there, and they've got a big beach culture, of course, and she took a regular bathing suit, or what you would call a regular bathing suit from Australia, which was like boy shorts and like a sports top kind of combination, if you like. So a two-piece outfit, but, rather conservative, shall we say. And she wore it down to the beach with her host family one day, and apparently on the beach, this girl was only like 17 or 18, but she received quite explicit abuse for wearing such a conservative swimsuit on the beach, and was forced the next week to have her host family take her shopping to buy a skimpy bikini.
You need a bikini that wedges up your bum crack, stat. Yeah.
Now, do you think the reverse happens when, like, a Brazilian girl comes from Brazil for a year in Australia as an exchange student and goes down to the beach wearing a Borat-style mankini?
Yeah.
And the abuse flows in the other opposite direction?
I think a lot of the thoughts are kept to most people. They keep it to themselves.
In Australia?
Yeah, I know when I see someone walking down with that rather revealing bathing suit, because they're obviously from another part of the world, I it's a lot of rubbernecking going on, doing that thing where you put your sunglasses on and you're looking in one direction, but your eyes are hard left.
Oh, man, I know that
feeling. You know that look? You know, yeah, that's... the sunglasses, you know, the you know, the ultimate pervy gentleman accessory on the beach, you know.
You can't go without it. Don't leave home without it.
You got to have them. You know, if you're seriously about perving, you got to get yourself a pair of decent sunglasses.
I can remember like choosing out sunglasses as a teenager with my teenage friends, and we'd be trying them on and say, can you see my eyes in these ones? How about these ones?
When
until
I,
you got the perfect camouflage.
Well, because I'm bald, right? I've got a shaved head. My main goal is to buy sunglasses that my only rule is as long as I don't look like Pitbull. That's right. That's it. That's pretty much my gauge.
He's got some great jams though.
Does he name one?
Strawberry.
Did you just make that up? Raspberry. Hey, that's
I wasn't doing a bit. That just happened.
You know, we call them conserves over here.
Okay, I do apologize. Now, was he involved in one? He's involved in one great one, which I love, which I can't think the name of.
I think there's one that goes, here is a moment, but it. Is that him? Or am I getting that wrong? Actually, it's probably Macklemore or something. Yeah. I don't know. I'm so out of touch.
I might have to Google it, but I think it might be one where it's featuring.
Right. Well, there's always feature. Well, you know, to be accurate, they never write the word featuring. Have you noticed that? It's always feet, full stop.
What does that mean?
Well, for some reason, when you write, you know, Eminem featuring someone, you never write the word featuring. You have to write feat. You know, they never use the full word featuring or featured or whatever. It's all feet, you know. So anyway, but I don't know very much Pitbull. Let me just say that I won't be doing any Pitbull songs for the showstopper this episode or any episode.
That's a great shame.
Yeah. That's what I do at gigs when someone says, can you play this song? And I'll go, no. And they'll say, why not? Well, I said, well, he doesn't play any of my songs.
As far as you know. All right, I found the song. It's called Don't Stop the Party. That is a cracking song.
Don't stop the party. Actually, I didn't even know that was it. I've heard of that. I've probably drunkenly danced to that song and not realized it was Pitbull. So, okay, tip of the cap.
Well, let me tell you my introduction to that song. I went to the Hong Kong Sevens about 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
You may not even know that.
I don't know that. How many other secrets are you keeping from me?
That's it.
Okay.
You're worried that before you know, I've been hiding from you the fact that I've been to some one-day international cricket games in Sharjah?
Yeah, without me. And like, and you choose this moment to tell me? Unbelievable.
So I went to the Hong Kong Sevens in, you guessed it, Hong Kong. And it's a big party atmosphere. Like, it's a big stadium, and they have very short rugby games that go for like 7 minutes a half or something, and they pack in a whole bunch of games one after another. And the whole stadium is just in absolute party mode the whole time. And 75% of the people aren't watching the rugby. It's just a mad, there's people dress up, there's beer flowing, people having picnics, everyone's best mates because it's not really serious. And it was a huge party. And between each half of this, so there was 7 minutes of rugby, and there was like a 3 to 5 minute gap, another 7 minutes of rugby, 3 to 5 minute gap, etc. And then they used to play some music over the stadium to amp the crowd up. It might have even been an ad, but it was just the music. There was no voiceover or anything. And they were playing like 1.5 minute grab of this Don't Stop the Party. And it's the first time I ever heard it. Every time they played this song, Don't Stop the Party, the place just went absolutely wild, including me.
You know, I've been to Hong Kong. I was there for a week, and I searched high and low. I couldn't find a party anywhere. So
that's you couldn't even stop it.
No, I wanted to. Don't stop the
party. Kerwin, Australia Zoo. What's all that about?
Yeah, have you been there?
I've never been there. I lived in Brisbane, which is where Steve Irwin's Australia Zoo, dear listener, is situated, but never been there. But you were telling me recently that you have been there.
I have been there. My sister has 2 young children, and...
they're part of an exhibit at Australia Zoo?
No. So I went to Australia Zoo for the first time a few months ago. And, you know, we live in Australia. We know all about the Steve Irwin thing, and I'm sure it's very well known around the world. I heard a lot of things. I'd never actually been there before. And, wow, Man, they really know how to suck money out of my wallet, I'll tell you that much.
Whoa. What, are you buying merch or buying peanuts for the elephants? Hang on, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I just went there to have a look at a crocodile. Next thing I know, I'm down $200 and walking out of there with a fleece-lined hoodie that has Australia Zoo emblazoned across the chest.
No way.
I tell you what, though, that hoodie is a real conversation starter.
Right.
I've worn it to a couple of gigs, and girls kind of have that, oh, my God, he's wearing a Australia Zoo. That's so cute. Oh. So I went, yeah, thank you.
That easy.
Yeah, thank you, Terry and Steve.
Does that mean that the black leather jacket is not getting a look in nowadays?
Yeah, sometimes I team the black leather jacket with the Australia Zoo grey fleece hoodie. Oh, mate, it's a match made in heaven.
Pre-gig, post-gig, is that what you mean?
Oh, especially this time of year, it's cold. It's really working. It plays.
So you set up the gig wearing your Australia Zoo hoodie, and then at the end of the gig, you pop on the jacket?
No, I'm doing that cool thing where you wear a hoodie underneath the black of the jacket. You know that thing?
Whoa.
Yeah, man.
Right, okay.
Yeah, wow. I'm like Jason Statham. That sounds like something he'd do.
My goodness.
Maybe not with the Australia Zoo, but like just the, you know, the fleece hoodie and the, you know. But yeah, it gets a lot of attention. But anyway, like, so I go to Australia Zoo, and it's really odd because everyone knows that Steve Irwin was tragically killed by a stingray a few years back.
He was stung.
So, you know, the main attraction of this Australia Zoo is Steve Irwin, but he's no longer with us. But the ghost of Steve Irwin looms large over everything. And if you go to the crocodile show, and everything is a reference to Steve and Steve this and Steve that. So it's kind of odd, you know. You know, talking about someone that when they're not there, I think that's rude, isn't it? That's the way I was brought up, anyway. So, yeah. The other thing is, though, as you also might know, that Bindi Irwin was a big part of the whole setup as a kid,
right?
But now she's like a, you know, she's a woman now, you know.
Yes.
And there's still a lot of leftovers in Australia Zoo from her time as a child, you know. So there's still Bindi's clubhouse, a little treehouse thing, you know. Yeah, there's pony rides, Bindi's pony rides. And she won Dancing with the Stars. Did you know that?
I didn't know she won, but she did come, because I knew Steve Irwin had some kids. I didn't knew nothing about them. And then one day I was just flipping through imager.com, and all of a sudden people were posting GIFs of her in like a ball dress doing some dancing and making lewd comments. And I was like, oh my goodness, I am getting old.
Right. No, that's wrong.
She came storming back into my consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the weird thing is whether she won it, I can't remember. I think she won it.
She did.
Is because in between this huge glass cage that sits a 5 meter long python and a little place where you can cuddle a koala is the shrine to Bindi winning Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
Where it has a huge mural of her, like, being lifted up and as confetti is being rained down on her, which looks like a victory thing to me. I'm pretty sure she won. And then it's surrounded by in glass tubes, like big glass case, tubular case, is her, the dresses that she wore on some of the Dancing with the Stars. So, yeah, not what I would sort of... It sits oddly in between some of the Australian deadly wildlife, Bindi's sequin-studded dress. You know, I'm not quite sure.
Which are also in vacuum tubes.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you remember, like, he had another kid, Bob, baby Bob. Do you remember him? Remember the little baby that Steve Irwin was dangling in front of a crocodile once? Do you remember that? That was a big scandal.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, well, that little kid.
I thought it was Michael Jackson.
No, well, you know, that's one thing Steve and Michael had in common, was dangling babies.
I love a good baby dangler.
They didn't have much in common, but they had that in common.
I go on a date with an older lady, I've been accused in the past of being a baby dangler.
Baby's arm holding an apple, you mean?
That's one way to look at it.
Something like that. So that dangled baby grew up, is now also a man himself. He's now Robert. He's not Bob, baby Bob anymore. And he's now a world-class wildlife photographer, apparently. And there's a section where you can go in and buy some very, very high priced prints of some of the Happy Snaps that Bob has been reeling off.
Right.
In his teen years. And again, yeah, like people are shelling out so much money for these things. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But I have to say, I'm bagging it out. It does sound like I'm bagging it out, Kelso. But I have to say, all in all, it's amazing.
What did you spend your money on other than the hoodie?
Oh, look, the meals aren't cheap. Anything you want to do there that's not just looking at an animal costs money. If you want to, because I'm there with two little kids, you know, you want to, you want to do all the things. You want to get them to hold a snake, cuddle a koala. you can do a thing where you can get a photo with, is it a llama or is it a camel? Something that spits at you. I can't remember. It's one of the things. so you can do that. Costs $80 for like a 2 minute cuddle with some kind of llama, something like that. It costs $80. It's unbelievable. But you know, where else are you going to cuddle a llama? You know, it's worth it.
You have to be particularly careful about where you do cuddle a llama, as I understand.
Yeah, although there is a couple of sad exhibits, I have to say.
No.
Yeah, yeah. You might know this. You know, whenever there's tigers involved in... there's a thing called Tiger Island, which is a bit of a false advertising, because these tigers are well past their prime.
right.
It's all they can do to just get up on the all fours and, you know, walk around. I'm assuming they're heavily sedated, as, you know, tigers often are. usually, I believe that apparently they can get quite angry. You know, they're not all,
it's all those people grabbing them by the tail. They really don't like that.
Yeah, they don't. I saw one absolutely destroy a plastic 44-gallon drum the day I was there. So I'm like, yeah, there's a reason there's a 2-inch thick glass wall between us and them. But yeah, these poor old tigers, they just, their heart's not in it, I got to say. Yeah, so that was kind of sad.
Yeah. They're kind of upset because they're trapped on an island, but no chance of being voted off it.
Well, that was also something I wrote in the comment book as I was leaving to say that they obviously...
Which cost me $5.
They don't know their geography. Look, I'm not an expert either, but I'm pretty sure an island has to be, like, surrounded by water.
Yeah, pretty sure. We're Australians, we know that.
Yeah, their island was more of a velvet rope than it was a body of water. But, hey, look, you know.
Are you saying there was no water involved at all?
There was zero water, you know. It should have been called Tiger Room, maybe Tiger Annex. I don't know. but here's another thing, and don't laugh, because I do plan on going back there. I bought a yearly pass.
Why would I laugh?
Oh, because that doesn't sound like something Kerwin would do, right? Buy a yearly pass to Australia Zoo, doesn't it?
I laughed.
Yeah, but apparently it's the cost of going twice. So I thought, well, I'm definitely coming back. So what? I'll pay for a membership. Anyway, you get your own card. It's like an ID card with your photo on it. And as usual, they didn't get my best side, which is my front side.
They didn't.
I hate my front side.
I thought you meant your backside.
I would much rather that, to be honest.
Yeah. Once again, very hard to identify someone by their backside.
Yeah, it was. I was also
apart from Kim Kardashian.
Well, you know, I do have a perky butt. You know that.
Yeah, I do. I do know that, dear listener.
You might know that my
not
high
the
school,
way you think.
You might remember my high school girlfriend's nickname for me was Perky. Do you remember that?
I did not know that.
I still have some love letters from my high school girlfriend, and it starts by Perky, comma, next line.
Yeah. Perky sounds like one of those British boarding school nicknames.
Oh, Perky.
It was great to catch up with the lads, Bish Bosh, Brown Spot, and Perky.
Strangely brown.
Strangely brown.
I can't. I'm going tomorrow. I'm going to Australia Zoo tomorrow, and because you know when we do a podcast, dear listener, we don't hide the fact that Kelso and I we'll crack open a cold one. You know what I mean? So this will be now the third time to Australia Zoo, and the third time I've walked around Australia Zoo hungover.
Now, that means you're finally getting your money back on your investment, third time.
Yeah, that's it. It's now paying for itself, this Australia Zoo card. But also, because you know I'm a single guy, you know, I no longer have a much younger girlfriend. So I think an Australia Zoo yearly pass is a real, you know, a real a bow in the quiver, if you know what I mean.
I think you meant a great way to meet chicks.
Well, to be honest, I have...
Ostrich chicks. Emu chicks.
I have dropped the Australia Zoo thing a couple of times just to show that I have a sensitive side. And you'd be surprised. They're like, oh, my God, you love animals. Oh, yeah. Oh. So it's a... Yeah, I would recommend getting a yearly pass to Australia Zoo if you...
I totally love beaver.
Yeah, they don't have a beaver island, unfortunately.
That's rubbish.
Yeah,
beaver. They should have a beaver grotto.
I would see that. I would go. I would pay $80 to pet a beaver.
Maybe you could pop in there and eat some beef jerky.
Well, sorry. Can I rephrase that? I think I'm pretty sure the going rate for petting a beaver is at least $200 now. I don't know.
In call or out call?
It just depends whether you want the girlfriend experience or not. I don't know. There's a bit extra. Yeah. Well, not that I know. I mean,
I don't even know what those terms mean.
Me neither. What do you think they mean?
Now, I know Australia is an extremely prescriptive society. We've got lots of rules, especially when it comes to importing, exporting. We're very keen to keep things off the island that shouldn't be on the island. So the question I have for you is, are you sure that the Australia Zoo has all the permits in place to import those Dancing with the Stars dresses?
Do they have a customs tag on them? I don't know. Probably exactly. Not. Yeah, you know, they've probably greased a few palms to get those through customs, yeah. I'd say. But
it could be a couple of Los Angeles bugs on them or diseases.
Well, that's probably why they're in a hermetically sealed glass case.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean that's because you're not allowed to take bananas across the border. So why on earth would your Bindi's dresses be any different? You know, I don't know. But here's why I'm going tomorrow. Is that okay. It's school holidays here at the moment, right? And the reason we're going is because guess who's in town?
Oh, okay. I'm gonna say Baby Bob.
You'd be right. I thought you were going to say Steve, and I was going to have to stop you there. I know you don't read the newspaper as much as you used to, but yeah. Although Steve's everywhere. He's everywhere. You can't miss Steve. But apparently...
So what do you mean? Like photographs of him and just things named after him?
Okay, so...
Steve Toilets.
Yeah.
The Steve Peanut Stand.
Yes. There's pictures everywhere, giant pictures of him. As you come into the car park, it's a giant... picture, a mural of what is Steve Irwin either strangling or hugging or something with a crocodile. Neither of them look comfortable. It's a very famous photograph, and both the crocodile and Steve look like something bad's about to happen.
Little do they know.
Yes. So the first time I was there, it was off season, right? So this is like, I don't know, a couple of months ago. They must have, on one of these slower days, brought out one of the crocodile understudies, if you know what I mean. Because he took a lot of persuading to, you know, play ball that day. They were throwing dead chickens at this thing, and it wasn't really interesting.
Left, right, and center.
Yeah. It was this uncooked KFC, like, flying everywhere. And this crocodile obviously had an attitude problem. They all do, but this one in particular. He was a bit more lethargic, and they actually had to really literally poke the bear to get him to perform. And so I just thought, well, that's...
Hang on, so let me get this straight. The alligator, the crocodile's in the pen.
They do have
He's
alligators.
He's not performing.
Yeah.
They do He's have not them. Performing. So they bring out a bear and start poking it to make him perform. That's terrible. Poor bear.
Yeah, this isn't Russia.
Assuming it's a koala bear.
No, you know what's weird? They have a koala thing there, but it's under construction. You know what I mean? Well, it's there. It's like
that's like a website from 1993.
it sort of said, well, it's obviously already been there. It's like being rejigged. So I'm not sure what needed to happen because, I mean, koalas don't really...
they just need gum trees, mate.
Well, they're not performers, I think it's fair to say, koalas. But so I can tell you, so the second time I went to the crocodile show, they obviously brought out the A-team for this one. And this thing was like...
Wrongly convicted in 1979 for crimes they could not commit.
Yeah, this fella had
if you can find them and you need them, maybe you can hire the A-team. Snap, snap!
What's the theme to the A-team? I was...
Bum, 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 ba, da, ba. I'll go on.
Kick
da,
off.
Da, 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 ba, da, ba, 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 ba.
Yeah, I put some stink
I
on
actually
there.
Actually bought that song off iTunes to add it to my jogging library. That's right. I used to have a jogging library. I still do. I just don't use it anymore.
And I know you... This is how well I know you, Kelsa. I bet that you also had the theme to Rocky Gonna Fly Now on that same thing.
Well, not just the theme from Rocky,
the
but
entire
quite
soundtrack.
A few.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor, dear listener. Go and buy the theme from Rocky.
Take Woo! It back. Take it back. Oh, it's a great...
I'm not even talking about Eye of the Tiger. I'm talking about original Rocky. Woo.
Yeah, do you know what?
Getting stronger.
I think enough
flaming
time...
high.
I think enough time has passed that I can now divulge to you, dear listener, and you, Kelso, that I absconded with your CD copy of the Rocky soundtrack, and I still have it.
Yes, well, I'm not surprised somehow, dear listener.
Yeah, I've got light fingers. Mm.
Well, and I did have to leave Australia in a hurry.
Yeah, you left me with your Bill Conti swag, and you know what's great? It's great for driving. Oh, mate, you know, especially when you pull up to a set of traffic lights, wind the windows down, turn it up a bit, and just look over at the chick next to you, as it like, you know,
that's the white guy version of playing rap, gangster rap.
I felt so Italian for like in those moments. I feel like such a Guido, you know, just like bobbing my head with one hand on the steering wheel, the traffic lights.
You felt like a Guido, but really you're a Luigi.
I know. Don't remind me. But let me just go back to the crocodile show.
But you're
show.
Great at plumbing.
I am. I got to go back to the crocodile show. I've got to tell you one funny thing that I noticed. That it's not just a crocodile show. It happens in the Crocoseum, which is like, you know, like a Roman Colosseum.
Wow, hang on. Crocoseum, that's awesome.
It's called the Crocoseum, yeah. And it's a stadium. It's fantastic, you know. So they get these...
hang on, is like two-thirds of it missing in ruins?
Yeah, when are they going to refurbish that? I think it's starting to get a bit beyond a joke, really.
Can you stage naval reenactments of the invasion of Carthage?
Yeah, kind of in khaki. So they have a whole series of what looks to be zoology graduates, you know, sort of young people, and they're so you know the kind of people that work at theme parks. They always like got this level of enthusiasm that's just not human. You know what I mean?
It's almost American.
Well, it's beyond that, you know.
I didn't think you could go beyond that.
It's like Australians don't act like that. So when you see Australians going, oh, wow, it's amazing. Wow, everyone give it a hand, you know. And anyway.
I've got a theory.
Okay.
I'm assuming 70% of the guests, or 50% at least, are Americans.
Yeah,
so I'm thinking maybe they have to go a little bit American.
They do.
Style-y.
And you know how I know? Is because they actually do a thing at the start of, because I've seen this a couple of times now. I know the moves. They do a shout out.
You know the moves after two visits.
They do a shout. I love how they do the shout out. They start with specific countries. They go, is anyone here from New Zealand? And they'll be like, yeah. Anyone here from USA? Yeah. Anyone here from England? Yeah. Okay, now we're going to have to really cast that net a little bit wider. Who's here from the continent of Asia?
Who's here from countries that formerly were part of the grand panacea of
the Commonwealth?
That bit.
No, it's
panacea. What was it called?
You're talking to the wrong guy.
You know, the big Gondwana.
Gondwana. Oh, you mean Pangaea?
The supercontinent.
Yeah, Gondwana land. I think
right,
Pangaea.
Let's record
was,
that again.
Well, Gondwana.
I'm looking through the wrong thingy.
Yeah, I know that Gondwana land is what when it was all joined together, and I think Pangaea was the what. There's a few splits, you know.
So what comes after the they've asked for people from the continent of Asia?
I think that's pretty much where they stop.
Anyone here from the European Union, including Great Britain?
Yeah, and they'll get someone to dance like a chicken, and they win a prize. It's just all, you know, it's make it feel comfortable. But what they
standard
do,
stuff, really?
Yeah, they don't. It's not the Crocosseum. Sure, it sounds like the Crocs are the main attraction, and that's
well, how, I hope when they say Crocosseum, they say Crocosseum.
Like the guy that's introducing a boxing match, Crocosseum. Yeah, it is like
exactly.
That. It's exactly like
or
that.
The Simpsons episode where there's the Trochosaurus.
What they do before, just to warm you up, because you obviously don't want to go straight to intercourse. You've got to like warm up a bit. And they do that with birds. You know what I mean?
All right, who's get ready to get crazy? Let's get rumbling. Here's some birds.
Yeah, that's what they do. So they have well-trained birds that come out and fly around. It's actually pretty cool. But what I didn't realize is there's a couple of just actual birds that hang around, like just birds in the area. You know, they're not part of...
Oh, they just popped in.
Yeah, like an ibis that will just hang around. And apparently...
Now, have
and,
they got a yearly pass?
No, they don't. They're transients, these things. We call them bin chickens here. As, I'm not sure if you knew that. Ibises, they're basically pests.
Right.
And these, and there'll be just a couple of ibises that just come in and crash the show, you know, and just hang around. And apparently they don't
try and
mind
get a fish.
Because these ibises are so stupid. They get a little bit too close to the crocodiles. So there's this like this extra added thing, like, is today the day?
Oh my God.
I know. But it's this unintended kind of like extra dimension that's actually cool. Like,
that's a bit of luck.
Yeah, like I'm because it's funny, like when it's crocodiles, I mean, I'm not a violent person, you know that. But when you're in the Crocosseum, you know, suddenly I've got bloodlust, you know.
Mob mentality.
Yeah, we all want to see that ibis go down, you know. He's not part of the show anyway. And
preferably multiple ibises.
And to be honest, the only way he was going to be a celebrated part of the show is if he got his neck chopped in half by a giant alligator crocodile. Actually, it's funny you mention alligators. They do have a couple of alligators. And alligators...
Well, hang on, back up. Sorry, did you see an ibis murdered in front of your eyes?
No, not yet, but I'm hoping tomorrow, because...
All right, you know, okay. Yeah. Back to the alligators.
So obviously the Crocosseum, they're the stars of the show. The whole Steve Irwin's empire was built on mucking around with crocodiles.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
He's the crocodile hunter.
Yeah, he puts his head in there, or something like that, you know. I'm sure there was something to do.
The crocodile used to put their heads in his mouth.
Do you know, like in one of those like old soaps, like Days of Our Lives, when these ongoing things, and just one of the actors will get sick of it, and they'll leave, and they'll get replaced, but the show goes on, and they think the part of Ridge will now be played by such and such, you know, that kind of thing.
Rick.
So yeah, so there's a person that has to play the Steve Irwin role, so they act like Steve Irwin. You know, they do the, oh, crikey! You know, they have to, like, you know, amp it up. So it's kind of, not all, you know, yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about it, but...
I'm going to stick my thumb up his ass.
Yeah. So one of the tricks they do, once they get the croc out of the water and onto the land, and it takes a couple of dead chickens to achieve that feat.
Right.
What the main guy, it's usually a bloke, you know, he'll lie down next to the crocodile for about 5 seconds. And it's a mad 5 seconds.
I can tell that. 2 Mississippi. 3 yeah. Mississippi.
He'll go, he'll do it. And he goes, that'll do. You know, they really do amp up this feeling of impending doom, which is all part of the show. But, you know,
where really the only people in, the only thing in danger is interloping ibis.
And a few just other regular birds that'll fly in. Because what they do, they have like rosellas that'll fly around. They just go around a circle. And
little parrots.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's all about getting fed. They're not doing it because they like it. There's there's some bird seed in it for them. You know, they're coaxed into this thing, you know, which is fair enough, you know. And what are those big birds with a massive... Brolgas. Now, that might have to be something that dear listener might have to Google. But
yes, it'd be very difficult to describe that. Kind of looks like a dinosaur, but all birds do.
Yeah, it does that thing where its knees go backwards. It's real weird.
Actually, looks a lot like a stork.
It does.
You don't want to Google it.
You're right.
Just think of a stork.
It's an Aussie stork. Yeah, that's what it is. So there'll be a bit of this action, but like, there's always these random birds just in the area that are going, oh, hang on, all these birds are getting some food. Let's get down there. Let's see if we can get in on this. They don't know that it's a show happening. They don't know people have paid a lot of money to be there. It's just ruining everything. But one of these days, one of them is going to get it in the neck. And, you know, everyone will be cheering, just like the Roman Colosseum of old, you know. And then there'll be the main guy with his thumb holding it sideways and decides whether...
Jerry will pop in.
Yeah. Whether the he'll decide whether the crocodile gets to deliver the death blow or not.
Do you think if they run out of crocodiles, we'll have to rely more on the alligators? They'll turn the Crocosseum into the alligator arena?
Well, the the alligators aren't performers. Unlike the crocodiles, they just like to basically wrap their jaw around things for fun. Alligators like to sleep. So I don't know, because right. I know the alligators, it's more of an American, South and North American thing, isn't it? I'm pretty sure.
Just to check the boxes. I think there's alligators in the Nile as well, actually.
Okay. Well, you've lived in America. Do they have an alligator world over there?
I'm sure they do, but I'm not aware of it.
Yeah, you would have to do a lot of coaxing to get them to start eating chickens in front of everyone. They don't do anything. In fact, these alligators at Australia Zoo are relegated out into the boondocks, you know.
Oh, no, not the boondocks.
Yeah, it's like something you kind of like walk past and go, oh, yeah, alligators.
Now, is the boondocks beyond Tiger Island?
Yeah, it is. It's way out there, past the giraffes, way beyond the rhinoceroses. It's kind of like a sad afterthought, really, because these things are like, you know, this thing that look like you could just chop someone's arm off at any second, the crocodiles. Meanwhile, you know, out in the boonies, you can go and see these, basically, they're crocodile-shaped logs that just sit there doing nothing.
They could actually be painted logs of wood.
The good news is them and anything to do with the alligators is completely free. That's one good thing.
Fill yourself up. Yeah, it's like getting bread rolls before dinner.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we live in Australia. Like we didn't have any encounters with crocodiles. Of course not, you know. But international visitors, they are so fascinated by them. I mean, they love it, you know. And I'm looking around at some of these international visitors when the rangers or whatever they call them are doing the show with the crocodiles. They the looks on their faces, they're like, oh my God, get away from me. That's going to eat you, you know. And meanwhile, we're like, come on, guys. We've seen Crocodile Dundee, right? It's all show. It's all bells and whistles.
All you need is an aging Australian comedian to handle one of those.
Well, put it this way. The first one I saw, that crocodile needed a cattle prod to perform that day. He was he got out of the wrong side of bed that morning. He wouldn't even come through the gangway, you know, like they had to open up a thing and he swims on down through the little watery thing. They opened up the thing and they had to like smack a bucket full of dead whatever just to get it to come through the gate, you know. It was like, oh, do I have to? Oh, I was sleeping, guys. God, you know. Had a big night last night. Hanging out with the alligators, man. Those
I was recording a podcast. when you said he needed a cattle prod to perform, all I could think of was like those old vaudeville entertainers who had a straw boater hat and a cane, and he needed that. Yeah. A cattle prod as part of his, hello, my babe. Hello, my ragtime girl.
He was like reefed off stage by the same walking stick. I'm more interested in this podcast that the crocodile's doing. Do you reckon it's called Crocs All That About?
Welcome back to Crocs All That About. We're two cheeky reptiles.
I'd subscribe to that. I would.
accidentally, like, as you're trying to tune into what's Jack all about.
We're two cheeky crocodiles talk about dead chickens. But what they do,
and,
right? They
and
they...
the strategies they employ to get extra chickens each performance.
I'd love to be the guy that works at Australia Zoo that has to. There's a certain amount of fashioning of the dead chicken that goes on. It still has to resemble. Okay, so. We're talking about, there's kids, right, you know, they need these things to get the crocs to do what they got to do, right? So these are chickens. You can't still have it looking like a chicken. So they kind of like get it to a point where it's still chickeny enough for the crocodile, but not chickeny enough for the little kids to go, "Daddy, chickens at home, it's eating the chicken, mummy." You know. So
do they kind of compress it into a ball or something then?
Well, they have to remove the head, you know.
Right.
And then they remove a lot of the feathers, but, you know, keep the feathers on the wings. So if you can imagine the kind of chicken that you'd buy for a roast from the supermarket, imagine that, but with feathery wings.
Right.
Yeah, I know, what an awful thought. Yeah, that's pretty macabre. But that's so there must be a guy that gets a truckload of dead chickens every week and then has to kind of get them show ready. You know what I mean?
What amazing world we live in, where we've gone from, like, even two generations ago, our grandmother could probably quite easily snap the neck of a chicken to us being mortified.
I know.
That chickens being fed to a crocodile in an amusement park might look somewhat like a chicken.
Well, what's funny is that these crocodiles, they, you know, I was always told to chew my food 15 times before I swallowed.
And never go swimming for 2 hours after eating.
Yeah, exactly. They're already swimming. I mean, these guys, they're rule breakers, these crocodiles. That's, I guess that's why they're so entertaining.
So are you suggesting they did not chew their food?
Chew? It was like, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. It was like, you've got these most amazing teeth, use them. It was like at one gulp, gone. Didn't even get a chance to savor it. You know what I mean? Like that poor chicken dresser spent ages on that, you know?
That was some of my best work. I never get appreciated around here.
Yeah, it was, this poor guy, you know, it's probably the most thankless task in Australia Zoo.
Yeah, he walks to work depressed every day because there's these 20-foot-high realistic photos of Steve Irwin, not a single one of the chicken dresser.
Exactly. And apparently there's no wastage too, because they're all about conservation at Australia Zoo. So all the chickens that the crocodiles don't eat, they send out the eatery and they get made into chicken burgers. So.
Yeah, you know. They serve it up in Bindi's clubhouse.
Yeah, and again, there must be another chicken handler because all the feathers are removed by the time that it makes it onto my burger.
Let's hope so. Have I told you about the time I did an accidental Steve Irwin?
Beer came out my nose. All right. No, you haven't.
Well, oh, you spoiled my story. That was my accidental Steve Irwin. I've got a favorite pair of three-quarter length cargo pants, my shorts of choice.
No.
And they're of a lovely fawn color.
Hey, by the way, they're lovely coming fawn back too, so hang on to them. Don't throw them away. Not that you would, but anyway.
Anyway, so one day I went into work and it was a casual day. So I thought, I'm going to wear the old cargo shorts.
Give them a
big
run.
Opportunity. Twice a year, you don't get much of a chance. Yeah, that's right. So packed them away into the bike pannier and cycled them to work. Before I left to go, I also chose one of my short sleeve business shirts. It was summer. And so I chose one, put it into the old pannier, turned up at work, only to realize I'd packed my khaki business shirt. Short sleeve khaki business shirt. I've got my fawn three-quarter length cargo. I was basically looked like Steve Irwin. I did an accidental Steve Irwin.
Oh, tell me about the footwear. Let me complete the vision here. I've got. I can see everything. What was the footwear? Please tell me it was boots. Please.
Red high heels.
Oh, actually, that's kind of sexy. Oh. I don't mind that.
Black Reeboks. Yeah, but I was close.
Reeboks. Do they even still make Reeboks? Is that a thing?
Yeah, they're still making. They're actually not as good as I thought they'd be. So, maybe don't buy Reeboks.
It's a British shoe, isn't it? Now I remember. So of course they probably make Reeboks over there.
Well, no doubt they're not made in the Great Britain, but they do have a Union Jack flag on it.
Right. Okay. So where are they? I suppose Africa, I guess, with the Reebok.
On the veldt, mate. On the veldt.
Orange Free State. Yeah, for sure. It's called something else now.
At Australia Zoo, if I was in charge of marketing, twice a day I would have a pantomime villain stingray run through the park and people could pelt food at it. What do you think?
I'd pay $80 for that, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
What are you actually paying $80 for? Entry to abuse the stingray, or $80 to actually abuse the stingray on top of your $80 to enter the park?
I would see some kind of like show where, you know, the bullfighters, where the one that just slowly puts swords into the thing, slowly killing it, you know, maybe something like that, you know, like a Steve Irwin's Revenge. You know, the slow death of poking this thing with, you know, with its own thing, you know. No, you won't be surprised to hear there's no mention of stingrays anywhere in Australia Zoo.
X-Nay on the stingray.
Shh. Which the other thing about Australia Zoo that is weird is that it's called Australia Zoo.
Right.
Well, you're already in Australia. Just call it Zoo. You know, we know we're in Australia. It's, you know, it says it on the sign as you come in.
Mm.
Welcome to Australia.
I did see I'm always talking about imager.com apparently, but I saw a GIF on there once. It showed a like stingrays being chased by like a killer whale or something like that, and then the orca jumped out and grabbed one of the stingrays above the water. And the title to the GIF was Steve Irwin's Revenge,
right.
Or in honor of Steve Irwin, or something like that. It was funny. I gave it an upvote.
I think Steve Irwin's, like, not the real Steve Irwin's Revenge, was that he managed to get $200 out of me in one day.
Yeah. That's very rarely done to you outside of a strip club.
Yeah. Maybe they should have a strip club pavilion there or something like that. That might be cool, you know.
Australia's Schlappers.
the Coccasium. I'm just spitballing, you know. There's no bad ideas in a brainstorm. You know that.
I do know that. Now, also thinking maybe Australia Zoo could have some sort of crossover with Ace Ventura if they decide to reboot the movies franchise.
You know, I know you're kidding, but that's a fucking awesome idea. That's what's missing.
Edit that out.
No, I love it. No, stop that.
No, edit out. We're going to take it offline and...
So we're going to like not put it in the podcast so no one steals our ideas. Is that what you mean?
Exactly. That'd be a disaster.
You know, I'm going there tomorrow. I'll put it... Because apparently Terry, Bob and Bindi are going to be there. I'm told.
Wow.
You know, it's like it's a galaxy of stars.
List.
Yeah. So apparently instead of some university graduate acting like Steve Irwin, we're going to see Bob on deck. You know, talk about Bob's revenge. He'll go there. Remember me? I'm not a baby anymore, motherfucker. You know, so I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic.
Check this out, ladies. I am available.
I might even take a photo and put it on our What's All That About Twitter feed. That's how excited I am about seeing one of the Irwins in the flesh. I might even buy one of Bob's photographs.
My goodness.
Yeah, he's a happy snapper.
You are ready to drop some cash.
Oh, man, they got me. They really got me. When you're there with kids, and look, even though they're 1 and 3, you still got to impress them with a bit of cash. You know what I mean?
I heard Bindi selling kisses for conservation.
No.
What?
Kisses for conservation. How old is she now? I think she's 18. I'm pretty sure she's an adult now.
Yeah, otherwise I would not have made that joke.
Do you reckon, because I remember how embarrassed I was about things when I was a teenager, and I look back at it. I wonder what Bindi thinks as she's walking around Australia Zoo, seeing all these echoes of her childhood. You know, Bindi's saddle club and her crazy little treehouse.
Well, not to mention 20-foot-high pictures of her dead father.
Yeah. And, you know, her Dancing with the Stars success. That was a bit odd.
I dare say she insisted on that installation.
Yeah. It's, I think it was probably more Terry. It's all Terry. I've always thought that. Australia Zoo, everything about Steve Irwin has always been all Terry.
That does make a lot of sense.
She's the brains of the operation. I mean, she's a genius. How do you keep Australia Zoo going without Steve Irwin? Well, they have. I was there off-season and the Crocosseum was packed.
Maybe they need to enlarge the Crocosseum.
Do you know what they do, though? This is something that I really like. And maybe if I really want to flash some cash around, they do a VIP experience.
Right.
So there's every section of anything you want to see has a little thing like a preferred area. And if you get the VIP experience, there's no walking. you get a chauffeur-driven golf cart.
I thought you were going to say you get to ride a wombat around the grounds.
That's slow going, that wombat. But
you get there in the finish.
Although the little shuttle bus they have is actually slower than a wombat. So
the best thing about a wombat is it can push its way through crowds, no problem.
Yeah, their shuttle bus is like the train. It's like a train line. You know, it's got the next shuttle thing comes because it just does this little loop around the thing, right? And it's never on time. You know what I mean? And I'm trying to think, you know, how is this all falling apart? You know what I mean? Because there's only one shuttle and it's never on time. I found out what it is.
Where's it stopping? Yeah.
Well, I found out what it is. And in fact, me and my sister and her kids were the perpetrators of this. It's prams. That's what it is.
On the line.
You have to deal with prams. There's a back
all
sort of,
the way around.
There's
beep,
a,
beep.
Yeah, there
beep,
is. There's a caboose that's prams only. And it's kind of like, it's so cool because it's almost like, you know, being disabled and you get to park in the disabled parks. You know what I mean? You get, everyone's crammed into the normal seats. And meanwhile, my sister and me are, at, you know, fucking VIPs sort of seats down the back there, like spreading out, you know?
Right. Sorry. Let me get this straight. Is the reason the shuttle bus is not on time is that prams are getting in the way of the shuttle bus or prams getting on and off the shuttle bus?
Yeah, it's an ordeal. They're not made for prams.
Which one?
Both.
Oh, right.
It's everything. It's prams. Anything to do with prams. Because you can imagine how many prams are kicking around any given day at Australia Zoo.
We should say a pram is a stroller or a baby carriage. I think that might be a strange term.
Just a quick aside. What's the word of pram? Why do we say that? Is that a short for something? It sounds like it's short for something.
Yeah. It's short for prambulator.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought it might have been pramola.
Yeah, I was going to say prambulator is not a word I made up, even though it sounds like it. Where pramola is definitely a word Kerwin just made up.
You haven't ridden a pramola, you haven't lived.
No.
It sounds like I'm going to bet that. Can we stop the podcast? Because I think I'm just going to trademark pramola.
Don't stop the podcast because I'm actually going to look up pramulator just in case dear listener tweets me angrily. I'm going to say it's. It's not prambulator, it's perambulator.
Perambulator, so it really is a slang term, the pram.
Yeah.
Right, okay, yeah.
But I think that's a perambulator is like a Victorian word, I'm thinking.
Well, the thing is, these days, remember when we were kids, a pram was basically a deck chair on wheels. These days, right. Like a pram is like a small car, you know?
A deck chair on wheels, that's comedy.
It's true because like those
that
things,
reminds me
quick fold
that reminds me of the, a friend you know. Who had a very complex and large golf bag and buggy, and we used to call it the clubhouse on wheels.
It had everything, right? Yeah, no, I know those golf bags. No, my sister's pram is like a double-decker kind of, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
It's ridiculous.
Double-decker?
Well, maybe not double. It's double something. It's not double-decked. It's double, you know, it's two-in-one kind of thing. A side-by-side. It's like two deck chairs on wheels glued together, you know. That's a pramola.
I love those when you see them now where you've got the baby in the pram and then there's like a little kickboard at the back that the toddler can stand on.
All right.
Where were those when we were young? That looked so much fun.
Yeah, that was cool. Well, thing is that they kind of the idea of the perambulator on the shuttle bus is that you're supposed to sort of collapse them and get on. But the thing is, there's kids in them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably asleep half the time.
Yeah, so you kind of have to like holus bolus, pick them up, kids and everything, chuck them in there, put the wheel lock on, and make sure they don't roll off. So yeah, if you're going to go Australia Zoo, bring a pram.
Work out which one of your friends is going to pretend to be the baby.
Oh, just buy one from the toy shop. You know what I mean? Like a doll, just chuck it in there. One of those ones that cries. You'll get one of them. You know, even one of the ones that shits. That'd be even more authentic.
Yeah, just don't dangle it in front of a crocodile. The jig might be up.
I think, the crocodile's like, ooh, now that's a tasty looking meal. Sick of all these half prepared chickens. You know, the head's the best bit.
Perambulator is one of those words you'd only hear in a Dickens novel and then think, I've got to start using that in my everyday parlance, and then of course forget it 2 weeks later.
Well, I do that. I hear a word that's very Dickensian, and I try to use it in regular conversation. I just get a whole lot of blank looks and just wish I said pram.
Or when you use the word Dickensian, get lots of blank looks and wish you just used the works of Charles Dickens.
I was accused once of deliberately trying to confuse people with my words, and I'm like, hey, I'm just as confused as you are. Don't, you know...
Don't accuse me of obfuscation. Oh, dear me. Can you say that word?
Perambuscobscalator? No.
Obfuscation. That was a great bit. That would have really worked.
It's a tough word. It often makes you wonder how people even make up words like that when you can't even say it. You know, how do they, you know... Who came up with that one? I think that guy was just taking the piss. Just, you know, see. Well, let's see if they can pronounce this one.
I can say obfuscate.
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 That's easy.
But not obfuscation. Anywho.
Obfuscation. There you go.
Cut that out.
Yeah.
No. No, seriously, cut that out.
It's gone. It's already gone.
Now, Kerwin, what some dear listeners may not know is that bindi actually means a thorn in the grass.
Well, it's got a double meaning.
In Australia, I should say.
Well, it has a double meaning here in Australia. Okay.
Well,
hold on to your hats.
Well, I only know one meaning, the one I just defined.
Well, let me give you a little bit of Australiana 101.
Please do, and sign me up for 102 or 201, whichever way it works.
Not only is a bindi a rather unforgiving prickle that you might stand
on. A
prickle.
That's it.
Yeah. A bindi is also an Indigenous Australian word that means little girl.
Oh, that's even sweeter.
Yeah, so it makes sense that she's called Bindi. So it's Bindi and Robert. So I'm so keen to, you know, rub shoulders with some of the Irwins.
I was wondering what's going to follow that, Rob, but that's good.
I mean, I'm going to give a tip at the cap to Terry. I mean, well done, you know. Can you imagine what would have happened to Disneyland if Mickey Mouse was murdered? You know, or sorry.
Yeah. Well, also, I think she promoted Steve to the position he was, no doubt. I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if she secured the Animal Planet deal, which propelled him to stardom.
Yeah, well, they do say she is the brains of the operation.
I bet Steve couldn't even spell Animal Planet.
Yeah, there's a pretty decent brain underneath those horrible bangs.
She's had them for so long.
Yeah, move on. Remember, she tried to even give Bindi those bangs. Thanks, she saw sense and went, no, I'm just going to have my own haircut. And that the thing that was
I tried to give Bindi a bang.